Good afternoon. There is a tendency to think there is a tendency to think that when our sense perception is not being satisfied by expectation, nothing is happening. In other words, when we're not seeing or hearing something, we think nothing is happening. But when we look again to see more clearly what we are thinking, the nothing upon which he hangeth the earth is happening. Spiritual being is happening. God is being ceaselessly. No matter what and despite all appearance, reality is present in its fullness. But the hypnotism of a material sense, formed as it is, framed by appearance, sense perception of truth, forces us to see through so that eyes open or closed to this world, we must keep our mind stayed and our attention fixed on the ever-present mark of spiritual being. It is so easy to be fooled, having been conditioned into the satisfaction of the senses. The senses having been entertained for so long, we become conditioned by the sounds and the sights of those things that entertain us, to the point where if we are not being entertained, we don't feel fulfilled. When true fulfillment is ever present, ever in operation within us. And so the whole transference of awareness from sense to soul, as Joel describes it, is what must take place. so that even whilst in the midst of the sense experience itself, our attention is beyond this world, and yet into the here and now, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, toward that, the inner awareness of the experience of the I of our own being in stillness. It isn't until we are finally able to spend to spend as long as we need in stillness that we really begin to become aware of what it is to which end we are born, what it is that ultimately is the answer to it all, a deepening state of conscious awareness, even whilst yet in the flesh, that in heightened spiritual discernment, we are given to be able to see and allow the dissolution of material sense. We no longer hold to it, we no longer identify with it. We are willing to release, relinquish, give up, cease from, put off the mortal, and once and for all begin to allow some degree of inner revelation to take place. We have to realize reality doesn't come. It is ever present. Before you call, it says, I will answer. Before you speak, I will hear. Before you ask for, you already have, because you already are all you will ever need. This is the truth of man. At least the truth of man in his true being. But not the form as which this world appears. Temporal, finite, limited, lacking. And so we have to begin to discipline ourselves. Not that our thirst for truth should be quenched by the shallow pools of this world, but that we understand that sometimes we have to hang in there, hold fast to the faith, dig deep. That's what commitment to truth is all about. Trust. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the truth of our being. Trusting the nature of our true being to be of the perfection of God. So that when presented or faced with some erroneous claim to the contrary, that we exist as a mortal in time and space with an erroneous form, we can sit still. In the midst of that mesmeric mental suggestion, which is of the carnal mind, and not take up the sword. It's not easy. it is an act of faith, trust and hope in things unseen. It is an act of commitment to truth. To trust truth to be true. The truth that I and my Father are one. The truth that all that has ever been revealed as to that which is the truth of man is true of you. That in reality you are eternal being. That you are forever one in being, with being. We are so easily drawn back to the shallow pools of this world of identification with form. That's the way the world operates. That's the way the hypnotism is. That's the way mesmerism fools us all. And that's why Joel said, if ever I make it sound easy, please don't believe me. Simply because all of us know how hard it is to take no thought, to have no fear, to keep our mind stayed on God. To trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in all our ways. We all know that is the challenge of the high calling. We all know that even though we may have been at it, so to speak, for decades, at times we still feel barren, bereft, empty, devoid. We still feel as if we're just a beginner. We feel as if we don't really know anything. The honeymoon period of recognition of the rightness of the truth that we discover to be this particular way and teaching that we know is right for us, that is so wonderful, and we're full of the joys of spring, of finding it, and filled with inspirational revelation that we recognize and in which we rejoice. But eventually the time comes when our opportunity to apply those truths in the face of imagery and opposition, the hypnotism of this world, becomes us, where we have no choice but to prove what we know to be true. That is where practice comes in. And it's a bit like a full circle because we begin with much study. I remember when I first found the Infinite Way, I could not get enough of the books and the tapes. I didn't know there were other students. I didn't know there were classes. I didn't know there were meetings. And I felt like someone coming out of a desert finding an oasis when one thing after another fell into place and the way opened. And I slid and fell so easily into it. But there is a purpose to our direction. And our calling. And it is not only that we know this truth with the mind, but that we, in a sense, the saying rather in the vernacular is we put our money where our mouth is. We live by what we know and prove that in which we trust. That it might become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. It's not easy. Not responding to mental suggestion, not responding to the imposition on us of the universal illusion that we are immortal, living in time and space, for better or for worse. that if only we had this or didn't have that, or if only we were here or weren't there. All would be well. And yet, no matter what and despite it all, we have to know. Without, it says, even the shadow of turning. Without question and without doubt. I only have to live what I am. To be the freedom that has been spoken of for so long, through so many, that is the truth of all being. And as wonderful and as lovely a truth as it might seem, it is only for one reason and one end that we each ultimately come to the point and place where there is no other way for us. We could go back if we wanted. Because that fruit of this world has long since fallen from our tree, and a new fruit is coming into being that is nourished from within, not without. It's entertained, satisfied, fulfilled within our awareness, not from without through sense perception. We have to be satisfied with stillness. We have to learn to listen in and to the silence. How committed are we? How dedicated are we to this cause? To what degree are we beginning to accept that appearances are not reality? They're a little bit like on the movie screen, it all looks so real. But what it actually is, isn't where we see it to be. It's way back on the frame, going through the lens through which the light then casts the image onto a screen. As you believe, what is at the root base cause of existence, as you believe, so shall it be. But it isn't how it is. It's just that that is the level through which the light of truth is shining at this time in our experience of being. And so we experience ourselves in a certain way, through a glass darkly and not face to face. But sometimes it's not easy to not be who we aren't. Sometimes it's a challenge to be fearless and selfless when presented with a feeling. It may be pain. Concern for the well-being of another, when in reality there is only one. And the I that we are is forever one with that one whose very nature is omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. So somewhere along the line, as a result of our studies, we must become one with that which we endeavor to understand, with all like getting, get understanding, but then lean not on thine own understanding. It's all an activity of surrender and discovery. Surrendering all looking or reliance on looking to this world for anything that we need, even the remedies of the flesh. And discovering that within ourselves the eye of our being is forever complete and needs nothing of this world. It doesn't look to this world for anything. And so ultimately the transition we must all make from sense to soul is in the degree that we are able not to accept the belief that we are immortal in time and space, in a realm of mortality, that our good is outside ourselves and that someone, somewhere, with a bit of luck, will have the solution to our problem. When the solution to it all is within ourselves. To what degree have we begun not to transfer our allegiance from soul to sense, but to redress the balance from sense to soul? It's an individual matter. We can only ask ourselves. Those who are without sin, by all means, let them cast the first stone, but ultimately we are all here to learn the lessons of awakening, the truth of being, the reality of the one life. It's called awakening. There is none holier than thou. We all are that one that is forever self-complete. Yet how at times we seem to be lacking in what we think we need, when completeness is the very nature of the I that we are. And so we have to start to give expression to I have, and draw forth from within ourselves, draw upon those limitless resources of spiritual being. Either in form or gesture, we have to become a giving individual who selflessly serves, seeking nothing in return. We have to trust the nothing and know that even though the season might seem to be barren, the season of the need for whatever we think we might need, though it might seem to be barren, midwinter barren twigs, little to show for the life that once seemed to be in its fullness, nevertheless, that completeness that constitutes the nature of all being is forever present in its fullness. And so we have to learn to draw upon our own withinness for the source and the sustenance that we seem to need in the now moment, that we might, through trust, be led of the Spirit, and through faith that we might be taught of God. Just through being. Abiding in being. Waiting upon, not for, as if it weren't so, but upon the already and ever presence, already isness and ever presence of God. Understanding that the true nature of prayer is to know there is nothing and no need to pray for anything. That I have, I am. And here where I am, the fullness of God constitutes the nature of my being. We will have many opportunities when we return to our respective places in the world to refer to these truths that are revealing themselves as to that which is the truth of our being. How long will it be for any of us before we lose that vision? We lose sight of what we know we see, of what we know we know, of what we know we recognize to be, that which is the truth of our being. How long will it be before the tempter, the temptation to accept that we are immortal, begins once again to take root and to come forth as a tree of the knowledge of good and evil that beareth no good fruit? This is all about awakening. Has the tide of direction turned? Has the direction toward greater fulfillment in this world, has that tide turned? And now, even though it may seem to be the very beginning of our return to the Father's house, has that tide turned so that our journey toward the Father's house has begun? These are rhetorical questions, of course it has. But how easily, sorely at times tempted, can we still be to accept the belief that it is otherwise? So how deeply are we committed? How deeply are we anchored? How total is our conviction as to that which is the reality of our being? Or how easily can we be induced into responding to the illusion that we exist as a mortal in time and space, for better or for worse, sick or well, rich or poor, or even live or dead, when consciousness is what I am? Yet this undoubtedly is the revelation of mystical consciousness, but that isn't necessarily where we come in, most of us. We come in at the beginning of a search, and we find, usually most of us are involved in reading this and reading that and going to this and that group, and then finally something registers that we realize is more significant, is profoundly relevant, that we recognize to be the way for us. And so we start to study that way. We start to recognize that there are principles of application, that there is something called the letter of truth with which we work. Mysticism never came into being without the firm foundation of the letter of truth, metaphysics. I individually happen to accept that those who are led to come to this kind of a class experience already know, already understand, have already applied, have long since learned many facets of the letter of truth. And then that in our coming together we are ready, certainly during this time together, and then according to the degree we are able to retain within ourselves some area of awareness of this consciousness revealing itself now. So that we can, without doing, just be still, knowing that there is no greater doing than this. Knowing it is already done. Knowing that before you call, I will answer. Knowing that trust in the Lord and acknowledgement of His presence in all our ways will unfold, appear, and direct our paths in the now moment, revealing the freedom of our true being. Where once perhaps the hypnotism of sense might have been presenting in such a way as to cause us to accept and believe that we were other than that. that we were other than pure being. Sometimes, for us all, it's like digging clay. It's not easy working with the mind. To remind ourselves, be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Because the mind so often is so full of so much of our human activities, what we did do or didn't, what we need to do or don't, when we have to make that conscious act of commitment and willingness to loose him and let him go. Even whilst we fulfill our human role and obligations, we have to keep releasing, realizing that I of myself can do nothing, but the Father within, he doeth the work. And that work is already done, so abiding as a beholder, I can approach any situation from the standpoint of that which is the truth of being, knowing that things are not the way they seem to be. And that through knowing, I and the Father being one, completeness already is the nature of the I that I am. There is nothing I ever need do to make it so. And so my attitude then is, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth, willing to wait, taking no thought, trusting the nothing, never doubting the silence, never wanting the world, but maintaining attention and awareness within ourselves. This sometimes in itself, simple as it might seem to be, can be an initiation of sorts, where the world will just rise up and it will just try to drag our attention away over and over, in this form and that form, this way and that way. Can we come back to unconditioned being? Do we trust ever presence enough to know that even though nothing might seem to be, all forever is? Do we truly believe we have nothing to do but be? And then out of being will be fulfilled all the doing that ever needs to be done. This isn't a 9 to 5 and then what a relief, we're off work for the weekend. This is an ever-present. The Son is ever about the Father's business. You have this opportunity every moment to rest in the awareness of oneness, to know the truth of being, that if someone calls you, if you hear, or even hear of, the dramas of this world, you are not fooled into sympathizing with the illusion as if it were a reality, but are able compassionately to give love and understanding, the strength of spiritual support and spiritual vision, without doing, just through knowing the nothingness and the non-acceptance of that which is appearing as the claim. Can you stand your ground? Can you remain steadfast and immovable? Can you rise to the occasion and not be there except as the presence of omnipresence when this world hammers at your door to have you accept and believe that appearances are reality, that they are threatening to your life, your form, your nation, whatever it might seem to be? Are you awake enough to know exactly what to do when claims present themselves to you? And most of us, as what you might call practitioners, are simply practicing living this way. And we have plenty of opportunity to practice. As Joel says, you live this life, you won't need a practitioner, you'll be a practitioner. Just because it will be natural to you to be a state of awakened awareness when presented with some aspect of material belief. This is a working way. And yet, as Lorraine once said to me, work isn't really the right word. Yet you show me someone who doesn't have to reinterpret appearances at some time or other. So can we see that what we see isn't what we are? And that what we are remains invisible to the natural man, the human mind, physical consciousness, sense perception, that in reality, in truth, the consciousness I am is omnipresent where you are as the eye of your being, for we are one, one life, one presence, one being, all infinitely individual aspects of that infinite, limitless one called God. The source, the substance, the fount of life, of being, of truth. Sometimes we have to dig deep. Sometimes we have to know that what doesn't really seem to be at all is the reality of all being. And that all that seems to be so real is just mental, is mind formation, mental suggestion, appearance. And that right where that appearance of duality, multiplicity seems to be so convincing and so real, in truth, right there, only I am is. Right there, the omnipresence of the one life that is the consciousness I am alone is, beside which there is none other. These are all the radical truths of the high calling with which we, through entertaining the letter of truth, by which I mean simply reminding ourselves of the truths we know to be true, in the form of the letter of truth, scripture, some form of writing. It could be poetry, it could be any form of writing that speaks to us of the purity and the perfection that constitutes the true nature of being. So that we do work with the mind when the mind is presented with images, claims, suggestions, for good or evil. That we might be willing to release it all. Sometimes we're hypnotized by the good. Sometimes we hold to the good. Sometimes we tie ourselves to a good appearance or image or ambition. When there is no greater good than finding our peace in being. And remember, this is like having our batteries charged. This isn't something we will take away and it won't be required that we draw on it. And then we may feel the need to attend another class with the same or another teacher. It's usually within the framework of the same teaching, because that's the way most of us are now. But somehow, maintaining ourselves in and at one with the consciousness that we know is the substance, the source of that which is the revelation of the truth of our being. It isn't orthodox religious belief. It isn't opinion. It isn't out of the mind of man. It's the revelation of being, revealing itself as to each and every one of us as to that which is the truth of our being. Sometimes there is no doubt we can be more superficially entertained, even in class context. But at other times there is also no doubt that we must be willing to go more deeply within. Resting, trusting, letting. There be light. Knowing beside me there is none other, despite appearances. Right here, right now, the I that you are is the fullness and the allness of the one life beside which there is none other. And so just know your individual completeness. You need look to no one for anything to complete yourself. But in fact, through your completeness, you have so much to give and to share. With those who as yet still do not know the truth of their being. It doesn't even matter that they appreciate or recognize it. All that matters is that you share it. As we said in our opening session, given the way this particular class has unfolded, it doesn't really matter if anyone speak or remain silent. All that really matters is that you are here to partake of hidden manna. The revelation of true divine spiritual substance and wisdom that is the reality of your being. In the silence and in the stillness. So the more still we can become, the more conscious we are of pure spiritual being. And the more conscious we are of pure spiritual being, the less aware we are of the good or the evil of a material sense of life. Because resting in the word, letting there be light, is the very same process as dissolution of the darkness. Once there is light, we don't then think how we're going to get rid of the darkness. By the time he who is right it is come, that which never was no longer is. And we find ourselves as states of freedom in the world. Living on in the awareness of, as Joel tells us, pure spiritual being. In a world made new when Christ has entered in. And that is and can be now. Joel says that if anyone thinks mysticism is not the most practical way to be, he hasn't tried it. And it certainly is of the mystery of godliness that through knowing being, we realize the completeness and the fullness of truth. That truth that the knowing of which makes us free in the world. So that when we do return to our calling in the world, something, some area within us comes with us, bringing with it greater light into our human experience. But we do have to be willing to leave all. We do, as we said in one of our previous sessions, have to understand why it says unto every last farthing. We do have to understand why we are told, except a man be willing to leave all for my sake, he is not worthy of me. It doesn't come cheap. But when we do bring ourselves to the feet of the Master within, returning to the altar of awareness, he uttereth his voice. We are spoken to in being, in a way that words could never encompass, with an eloquence with which language cannot speak. And so for all that I say, it is what I see that I would have you know. But how can I give you what you already are and already have? But perhaps if I simply remind you of that which is the truth of your being, you then can go forth and multiply that vision to do unto others, even as I do unto you. Perhaps not quite so quick to rise to the bait of judgment. Condemnation, criticism, we all do it. It's so easy. But who or what in the entirety of God's creation are we finding fault with? Except we be hypnotized into accepting, believing there is someone about whom such condemnation is true. We mustn't get involved on that level and in that way. We must keep ourselves clear. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So just know that in the silence of your being, all, albeit in seed form, is, and awaits only your awareness of it, for it, to go before you, to prepare a place, to make crooked places straight, and to reveal to you the truth, the fullness and the purpose of your being, to see, to know, to understand the whole of life is in the hand of God. Well, thank you for your attention. I think we dug a bit deeper that time. It's something we can't avoid. It's something we have to do. And as Lorraine told me, no spiritual work is ever wasted. It will bring its own fruitage in its own way, in its own time. The fruits of the Spirit. Harmony, peace, and freedom in being. What a gift to know the truth that makes free. So I don't have to ask you to keep the peace. I'm sure it will keep you until our next session at 7:30. Thank you.